Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everyone. Chuck Bonniewell and Julie Hayden on the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show.
Adams County, proud to have her from Adams County as the secretary. I am wearing this just because it's always cold here in the world headquarters of the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Yeah, it's always cold in here. So Jim says 15th time's a charm. That's right.
Now he keeps... That's all.
Yeah, that's all. Amazing. Never going to get it straight again.
Who maybe 15 out of 16 next time.
That's right. Hey, no guests today, so it's just us. So feel free, if you're listening on Zoom or watching on Zoom, to go ahead and unmute yourself or put your comments in the chat section, and we'll be sure to read them.
Unless they're snarky.
Unless they're mean about us, then we won't read them. And then if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008.
Guaranteed to get your snarky comment.
Yeah, there you go. several things to talk about today. I mean, everything from, are they going to arrest Donald Trump, to Oklahoma canceling PBS, thank goodness, to good news about the Trump polls, to Denver is whining about all the illegal immigrants coming. They don't want to actually solve it. They just want more money, though. So that's what they're doing there. This from Anna. I'm looking forward to my first XCOM tonight. Not sure what to expect.
Oh, I was at my first XCOM 2 years ago, and I was a fly in the ointment, so we'll see.
Yeah, they were like, wait, Chuck's elected again?
Chosen.
I mean, from Barney, Trump, RFK 2024, heard that today.
Yeah, why not?
But one of the things I wanted to start off, we're going to start off serious, and then Chuck is like, no, we need to be hopeful. So we'll get serious and hopeful. But
why is serious necessarily downy?
Well, because we're going to talk about depressing stuff, potentially depressing stuff. But I think it's important. Last week, four members of the Proud Boys were convicted by a D.C. jury with a corrupt D.C. judge and a corrupt D.C. prosecutors of, seditious conspiracy. First time ever in the history of the universe that anyone has been charged, let alone convicted of that. And these guys have been in jail. The people who were convicted have been behind bars waiting trial since early 2021 because the judge said...
And they're facing another 25 years, so it'll be fun for them.
Right. But they've been detained for 2 years because the judge said they were a threat to society.
Oh, yeah,
now, this is the same prosecutor, Jack Smith, I think his name is, who's also looking into Trump in the 2020 and the January 6th stuff.
Right.
Julie Kelly, who's done just a wonderful job reporting on this. I just recommend, if you haven't been following it, she does a great job of just outlining, just the ridiculousness, the corruptness of the judge, the weakness of the case, the fact that they ignored that the whole thing was literally with FBI informants.
And the way judges do this, no, you can't bring that up, you can't bring that up, you can't bring this up. And they only leave you with, one flimsy excuse for the go to the jury. And
I understand that some of the jurors being interviewed at the end, and now I'm paraphrasing a little bit sarcastically, but not by much, basically said, yeah, well, we hate Trump and all the Trump supporters. So actually that didn't even matter. We would have, it was a 4 month trial, but we could have convicted him maybe day two.
12, 30, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, upon the jury selection. And Julie Kelly, though, said this is the same people. This is the same prosecutor who's also now looking at Trump. And she says, people need to wake up about what's coming down. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is it's kind of like, our son Rev is 12 years old now. So we're kind of starting to have conversations with him saying, sooner rather than later, somebody's going to say, hey, let's have a beer or let's do this or let's do that. And don't tell your parents. And I tell him the time you need to think about how you're going to handle that is now, not when you're in that moment, right? Because a lot of things can be factored in. You need to be kind of thinking now, what am I going to do? When somebody says, hey, you want
a pill?
Yeah, you want a pill, you want this or you want that, right? And I think that sort of serves us well, too. I think the time to think about what happens when they indict Donald Trump. And I think it's entirely possible arrest Donald Trump. What happens then? How do we handle that? And I don't think we need to come up with this answer in the next 20 minutes, but I think this is a conversation worth having. And I want to play Julie Kelly explaining this, because I totally agree with her when she says people are not paying enough attention to this. So Thomas, if we could please play the Julie Kelly soundbite.
The eyes, they wouldn't actually put Donald Trump in prison, right? A former president, you don't think they'll go that far, right?
I absolutely do. And I'll go even deeper between the eyes, Jesse. When he is indicted for, if he's indicted of seditious conspiracy, which I think the chances of that just increased tremendously today, I can see Jack Smith seeking pretrial detention for Donald Trump, which is exactly what they've done in every defendant who's been charged with seditious conspiracy. So now they have a precedent for these courts to sign off on pretrial detention orders, meaning denied bail. You will be held in prison until your trial commences. I've watched these judges and prosecutors more than anyone on this side, but nothing will surprise me. And in fact, I'm sure they're just chomping at the bit right now, waiting to present this information to the grand jury seeking seditious conspiracy indictment, and then shockingly seeking to keep Donald Trump in jail, particularly as he's campaigning for president, pretending that he poses a grave, a security risk to the American people as he's campaigning and facing these very serious charges.
Truly, this country is going to come apart if that happens, right? Or am I overstating it?
I mean, I don't know, Jesse. But aside from you and a few other commentators, and this is a day I really will miss Tucker as well, no one on our side is paying attention to this. No one cares. They think the Proud Boys are domestic terrorists and that they deserve what happened to them. Trust me, they did not. This is a horrible travesty for these defendants and especially their family members. But this creates a real a slippery slope for the country overall. Will the country fall apart or come apart if Donald Trump is indicted on this? I mean, I don't know. Where are the fighters on our side? We are so outnumbered and so outgunned. It's just hard for me to predict the reaction when that happens.
Well, and I can tell you what I think on that. One, I mean, I think she's probably right. If Donald Trump is just indicted for this seditious conspiracy, I think it'll be like, whatever. I mean, Donald Trump's indicted for something every other day anymore. But I do believe, because we have no reason to not believe it, right? Like she said, every other defendant charged with this has been in prison for up to 2 years. I mean, a complete travesty, right? I mean, murderers, carjackers, kidnappers are set free, right? But these charges where people have no prior criminal history, they're put in jail. And Mike Pence testified in the ongoing Donald Trump thing for like 6 hours, right? Mm-hmm. Now, do you think Mike Pence would care if Donald Trump is arrested? No. Do you think Ron DeSantis would care? Do you think Mitt Romney would care if Donald Trump is arrested?
Well,
no.
Well, you have to remember.
Arrest him. They'll be like, I mean.
No, but it's far broader than that. I have to remember when Julie, because, you know, where's our side? What is our side? Yeah. The Uni Party is not our side.
Right.
No one in the Senate, with maybe an exception of a couple of people, is on our side. The RNC is not on our side. There is no side. I mean, when anything happens to any Democrat, they go berserk, and they have the vice president setting up bail funds and everything else.
Right.
When our people are indicted, our people, nothing, because they don't care. They're just as happy. They hate the working class of America. They hate everything we stand for, and they will do nothing about it. I don't think it'll hurt him to be in jail as a practical. Now, of course, he'll do everything to rig the election. But as I said, Eugene Debs, who's a socialist candidate for president in 2020, was in Atlanta prison at the time, and he garnered over 1 million votes. So I don't think it'll make a difference, but you have to understand that the left, they say the country will come apart. Well, what do you think the January 6th, quote unquote, insurrection, that was their training ground to be able to arrest anybody who dissents.
That's right. I mean, and that is the bigger scary part. Because on the one hand, you know, it's like, what are we going to do? I think Julie Kelly said it very clearly there. we only have ourselves, right? There's not going to be somebody, there's not going to be, you know, somebody coming in saying to Merrick Garland, oh, you can't do this. Congress isn't, maybe, you know, Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz and some of those guys, you know, I don't know about Kevin McCarthy, maybe, but the Senate's not going to do anything. Nothing's going to happen. The Supreme Court isn't going to do anything, right?
They might eventually, you know, after
right.
It's too late
to matter. No one is going to come to save us, guys. It's going to be up to us. And that's why, I think you're right. The scary thing is if they put Donald Trump in prison behind, and not in prison, actually, technically he's in jail. Prison is after you're convicted. If they put him in jail, certainly they would put anyone who dared to question putting him in jail.
Well, they did. They convicted the head of the Proud Boys. He wasn't there.
He wasn't even there.
Yeah,
right. And they've been in prison despite no weapons, in spite of what the legacy media says, no one except, you know, some of the protesters, the Trump supporters were killed. I mean, all of the lies that they continue to put out there. So I just think it's something, and I think I'm going to talk about this more as we go, because no one is going to come to our rescue. No one's going to come to Donald Trump's rescue except us, I think, right? It's going to be a mutual rescue situation because we need him to help rescue the country. But I think they've seen enough that they know the Republican Party itself is not going to put a stink up about it. They're going to say, oh, well, the system, we have to trust the system. Right?
As a practical matter, the system is rigged. I mean, Sundance in the Conservative Trade Association talks about the club. And the club includes the RNC. It includes most of the governors who are Republicans. It includes most of the Senate and everything else. And they hate you. They want to give you an illusion of a choice and you not get one. You know, you can pick Mitt Romney or you can pick Barack Obama, but either one is okay with them.
Right.
And so it's going to be, I think it's going to be interesting. And I think they will rig the election. Democracy will end in the United States.
Ooh, that was dark. I mean, now we're going to have to go hopeful, Chuck. I'm not quite that ready to give up yet.
Okay.
You know why? I'm going to go a little bit spiritual on you because, I run in the morning and when I run, I listen to.
So there's no problem.
Well, no, but there's this one song and it says, God is in this story. You know, when you read about all the brokenness and you read about all the things that are bad, you got to remember that God is in this story and God is in the details. And I don't know if it'll appear in time for the 2024 election, but I think we have to hold on to that. That was dark. So I have to give that little moment of something.
You're the one who brought it out.
No, well, and here's the thing. I think, you know, in terms of
Melancholy Monday, says Leah. It's her fault. I told her, let's have some happy stuff. That's some happy Monday stuff.
Happy, not the end of democracy. I didn't know you were going to go there.
Well, it's true. I mean, that's a natural conclusion of what they're doing. You think that taking a presidential candidate on bogus charges and putting him in jail is anything but the end of democracy?
Only if we let it stand.
Well, we'll let it stand. Great. You can riot and join the Proud Boys.
Well,
no. I mean,
yeah, well, I mean, that becomes a scary thing. Jim Jackson, if they are able to do that, we are functionally done as a
free
country.
Well, let me tell you about Colorado and Tina Peters. The charges are bullshit. The whole thing is garbage. You have a crooked DA and you have a crooked judge.
Right. And she was ordered to pay a fine of $1,500 for taping.
Lucky.
Yeah. I mean, but with the indictment, though, here's the only thing you never want. This is to kind of turn around a little bit.
All right.
When you look at the closing arguments are going on today in this civil rape case, which is what's a civil rape case against Trump. You've got Alan Bragg prosecuting him on stuff that's never been done before. The seditious conspiracy, never been done before. And none of it has not only hurt him, it's actually made him stronger. So now we'll go to the hopeful. The ABC Washington Post poll, you know, they did this poll hoping, again, I'm surprised they reported it, honestly, to tell you the truth. But
Julie,
hoping.
You've got to be a little more cynical than that. They don't report stories they didn't plan to use. They don't do polls that they don't plan to be what the message they want to give.
We'll get into that.
They want to give them.
Can I just say something real quick?
Sure.
Okay. Like I told you guys a couple of months ago, it's tit for tat. What's happening with Hunter Biden now? They said don't indict him until Wednesday.
Right.
Okay. The more they beat up on Hunter, the more they're going to beat up on on Donald Trump because they got to get Hunter off of the news cycle. So you're going to see it get worse and worse and worse. Obviously, what's that phrase in the Air Force? If you're taking flak, you're right over the target.
Right.
That's what it is. That's all this is.
Well,
So you don't think that.
they'd be happy to exchange Hunter Biden for Donald Trump.
Right. And it may
That
come to
they'd be
that. It may
fine.
come to that.
Well, it won't. They'll Biden will get off and Trump will be in jail. They will convict him of these phony sort of gun charges that they gave him, which
Hunter.
they convict anybody that ever smoked marijuana. They're not bringing the FISA
Well, they might.
charges,
Well,
and
yeah.
they're not. You
Yeah.
the charges are bull. And they intend, I mean,
And
if
then,
Hunter goes to jail for a few months, who
well,
cares?
Biden will pardon him immediately.
As long
Well,
as
no, if Biden pardons him, it would be like Biden firing the that special that attorney that's looking into the Mueller investigation. If he would fire him,
no,
then
you've got it mixed up. The
you,
Mueller
yeah.
investigation was the Democrats investigating Republicans.
No,
Biden,
no, no, no. There's
no,
a
he's
guy.
just saying it beat.
No, because you think Mitch McConnell will do anything about it? You think
Yeah, I
those
mean,
Senate Republicans will
no. I'm
all of a
not talking.
sudden?
Who's the guy? Who's the guy with the white goatee? The special
Durham.
attorney,
Durham.
right? If Biden would fire Durham, it would be like Nixon firing, and he did firing the special counsel into his Watergate.
You keep on getting the parties mixed up. If he fires Durham, nothing would happen. Nothing.
Because the Republicans wouldn't do anything.
The
I mean.
Republicans are not going to do anything about
Look,
whatever Democrats
the
do.
Uniparty, but Jacob, I don't know. I mean, I worry, like Julie Kelly is saying, that this is not just sort of your political tit for tat. I
Right.
worry that they're going to go ahead and jail Trump.
Yes, of course they
And
are.
then
Right.
I think that's a whoa. I mean, it's more than a super, but I agree with you, tit for tat. What we then need to do, and the Republican prosecutors of
Yeah.
and attorney generals is they need to then start arresting Hunter Biden, right? I mean, they
No,
right.
they
And
need
you're,
to arrest George Soros.
well, yeah.
They
And you're,
need
yeah,
to
that's
arrest
true.
important
And the
people. Hunter
guy, and the
Biden's
guy that,
unimportant.
yeah.
but the
Okay.
guy that you had on the radio now, Jesse Kelly, he keeps saying the red state attorney generals should start going after the Democrats the same
And are
way
they?
Alvin
Do you
Bragg.
see him? You
No,
see him?
yeah.
Yeah.
But
No.
hopefully they will. Well, they're getting there. We'll play a PBS in this hopeful.
That's not the same
No, but
as
they're starting.
you
But I
have to
think you're right.
understand. It's a two-tier justice system.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, the things that Biden has done. I mean, what did Trump get indicted for? Making a call to Zelensky?
Right. No,
That
you're
was
right.
it?
You're right.
Right.
Well,
Even though, yeah, now you go.
I'll leave you with. Let me just leave you with it. I'm in New Jersey, so I'll just leave you with this. That Budweiser, the lady that decided to put Mulvaney on as a commercial, right?
Chichester, whatever her name
Did
is.
you see
Yeah.
how? Did you see how far that's backfired on the company?
Yep.
And that's what's going to happen if they try putting Trump in jail. This country is not going to put up with that crap. They're
I
not.
hope you're. I know.
I
No, they're not.
agree with the hope not. I
And
agree
then
with the
I
hope
think the
not.
question is, what do we do? But Jacob, great point. Thank
Yeah.
you for
Thanks for
calling
calling
in.
in
All
from
right.
New Jersey. Appreciate
All
it.
right.
Well.
Lakewood, New Jersey. Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right. Well, and on that though, so they did a poll, and you're right. You got it. We can talk after the poll. What? Because there's good news and I think bad news for Biden. And I suspect you're right. It's more about Biden than it is about
It
Trump.
nothing to do with they would have if they're trying to boost up Biden, they would have done what Rasmussen did. Rasmussen gave him a 51% approval rating, showing he's now in the black, I guess it would be called. And instead, they emphasized a terrible poll for Biden, and NBC or ABC News trumpeted it. They said, "Oh, this is terrible, this is awful," because they want to reserve their right to kick Biden out.
Right. That's what that's about. But let's play the poll because the poll is, though, good news for Donald Trump. So if we could please play the Trump poll soundbite.
political director Rick Klein here to break it down. And Rick, this poll is just brutal for President Biden.
Absolutely, George. And you talked earlier about that record low approval rating for President Biden. It's actually 6 points down just since February. And the skepticism over his leadership extends deep inside his own party. Only 36% of Democrats think that their party should nominate Joe Biden for a second term. 58% say they would support someone else or prefer someone else. That's despite the fact that the entire DNC, most of the Democratic establishment, has rallied behind President Biden. And you're seeing real weaknesses in the coalition that powered Joe Biden to the presidency back in 2020. Biden carried independents by 13 points against Donald Trump. He is now trailing Trump by 9 points among those same voters. He carried black voters by 75 points in 2020. Now he is up just 35. That may sound like a lot, but the fact of the matter is, in modern politics, that is not the kind of number that a Democrat needs to be victorious. And then, of course, that does spill over into the head-to-head matchup, the hypothetical rematch, Trump versus Biden. Right now, a 7-point edge in our poll from in Trump leading Biden. And in fact, it's an identical number with Ron DeSantis in a head-to-head that might happen next November.
That's kind of interesting.
That tells us at this very early stage, George, that this race is shaping up a lot more about the incumbent president, Joe Biden, than it is about any of his challengers.
And Rick, as I mentioned with Senator Langford, President Trump, at least right now, appears to be strengthening his hold on the front runner status for the Republican nomination.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've seen Donald Trump's numbers go up in the last couple of months across a range of polls, and most of the other candidates either going down or staying around the same. Ron DeSantis at 20%. Of course, that is not even half Trump's total right now. Everyone else in the single digits, that includes our ABC News contributor Chris Christie, who's considering a run of his own. He's at 1% in this poll. And when we ask people to focus in on the top candidates, to choose just among the top contenders, you actually see Trump's number go up a little bit. Ron DeSantis does as well, but still, he's nowhere near where Donald Trump is across the country. The other candidates, again, still in the mid or low single digits. And this is interesting because despite all of that, despite the strength that we're seeing for Donald Trump right now, a strong majority of Americans think he should be facing criminal charges across a range of investigations, including on this one. 56% say that he should face charges over his attempts to overturn the 2020 election. What's interesting to me about this, George, is that even among that 56% people that think that, yes, Trump should face criminal charges, 18% say they would vote for Donald Trump over Joe Biden anyway. That tells you a lot about Trump's potential strength, but maybe more than that, some of Biden's weaknesses. And that question of age that you mentioned earlier that Joe Biden has been trying to address. Donald Trump is less than 4 years younger than Joe Biden, but the concerns over Biden's age are much more significant. 68% of voters say they think that Joe Biden is too old for an additional term. Only 44% say the same about Donald Trump.
So what's interesting there is how they were willing to do something positive about Trump in their effort to attack Biden, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what do you think is going on there?
Well, because the whole point of this is only one thing. That's to leave open the possibility of another person, Michelle Obama, Gavin Newsom, somebody else coming in. That's the only point of this one. And that's the sole purpose of it. It's not to boost Trump. And it's to make sure that they give themselves enough wiggle room that they can get rid of Biden if they have to.
Well, and it's them saying that it's the Trump fear, right? The Trump derangement syndrome. It's like, oh my God, if we run Biden, Trump will win again. Right. I see Charlene has her hand raised. Hey, Charlene.
Oh, I'm just thinking. So we believe mainstream media polls now that they've got Trump ahead. We believe them now. And, you know, and that's just a perfect opportunity. Now we tune in. And Trump's ahead, so we're all tuning in to CNN, and we're replaying it. And then, about a month before the election, the polls have turned. Well, we've shown them we believe the polls, so now we're going to look like idiots when we say, oh, we don't believe your polls. We've been believing them when Trump was ahead.
Right.
And so I still don't believe any of their polls. They're all...
No, I agree with you on
they're
that.
All push, they're all propaganda to make it the way they want it to be. And right, and you're right. Chuck, they're wanting to bring in someone to oust Biden, but they're also just getting the audience back into listening to CNN, you know, I mean, and then they'll drum up something. Well, probably what they'll do is that they'll arrest Trump and they'll say, oh, the polls were down. So then they can steal it. you know, it'll be cover. It'll be like, oh, well, he was ahead, but now look, he's arrested.
Now he's down. No, that's a good point.
And so now we can steal it and it won't even look like a steal. So as long as we're buying into their polls, you know, they got us hooked on that little, you know, they got us hooked on their propaganda.
I agree.
That's all.
Let me ask you one thing. And we'll get to Sherry from Lake, who just called in. So hang on there, Sherry. But Charlie, let me ask you this. In terms of compare how you, not just you, but all of us, the degree of cynicism and skepticism about pretty much everything today, maybe to 6 years ago. I mean, would you have, do you think, I mean, I know I've changed. I don't trust anything, right? I didn't even get Rev's latest vaccination. Is it just me or do you feel the same way too? I don't believe anything really.
I'm really not much further less trusting than I was 4 years ago. When I really became when I became really the most mistrusting was when they raided Mar-a-Lago, and then it was like they're getting away with it. They just keep pushing to see what they get away with, and they will get away with putting Trump in jail because I mean they've cornered us. We don't have it. We can't protest. They've already preempted us, co-opted us of that right. And we can't, like they're doing in France, at least they can still do that over there, but they've scared everybody out of doing that. And then, you know, I think back to the Civil War, they wanted a Civil War. The feds wanted the Civil War and they pushed it and they got it. And, you know, I just would hate to see it come to that. So it may just be the fourth turning turns, weak man becomes strong again and we start all over. But I mean, we need to have fun while we're doing it. So
there we go. Right. There we go. So we'll have more Party Fridays. Maybe we'll have to go.
Yes, exactly. Friday,
Party Monday. Charlene, okay. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Going from mountain to coast, from Lakewood, New Jersey to Lakewood, Colorado, we have Sherry. Sherry?
Hi. So I actually want to go back to last week a little bit. Sure. Asked, why in the world would a major corporation like Anheuser-Busch, why would they have a marketing partnership with transgender influence Dylan Mulvaney, considering the small percentage of transsexuals in the population?
I want to tell you why.
Wait, she's going to tell us why.
Oh, you're going to tell us
why. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm going to make a connection because, Chuck, you're very interested in, like, what people or organizations were behind the firing of Tucker Carlson. Mm-hmm. And I want to connect the two for you. In my opinion. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
The corporations want to avoid failing their social credit score.
Yes, the ESG
score.
So
the largest LGBTQ+ political lobbying group worldwide is called the Human Rights Campaign. Right. Right. And what it does, it evaluates how well these companies adhere to its rating criteria.
Right.
And every year, corporations are given a list of demands by this Human Rights Campaign representatives to comply with. And if the corporations fail to comply, then there's a threat that they're going to lose their, it's called CEI score.
Okay.
But what that is the Corporate Equality Index score. But the Human Rights Campaign receives funding from various sources, like George Soros, the Open Society Foundation.
Right.
So
well, and particularly BlackRock is a huge.
Well, okay, so that's exactly where I want to go. The CEI, it's a component of the expanding ESG, right? Mm-hmm. The environmental, social, and corporate governance. Okay, mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. It's promoted by the top three investment firms in the country, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street Bank. So the CEOs, they're more concerned with pleasing BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street Bank, who are among the top shareholders of most publicly traded U.S. corporations, than with potentially angering conservatives, their customers, their viewers. They don't care.
Right.
Because that ESG, they have like $50 trillion invested in the ESG assets.
Yes.
So these big fund managers like BlackRock, okay, they embrace that ESG, and then they can determine the executive compensation, the bonuses, who gets reelected, reappointed on boards, and they can make it really difficult if you don't go by their agenda.
Right.
And
well,
so they don't care anymore about customers and about this score.
Well, you have to remember that Anheuser-Busch, which used to be an American corporation, got bought off by a Belgian group called InBev. So it's Anheuser-Busch InBev, and they're based in Belgium. Do you think they have their pulse on America? No, they could care less about America. And moreover, they know that, you know, with Bud Light, you know, tanking, one of the biggest ones who has gotten more is Modelo, a Mexican beer, right? No Anheuser-Busch. So they go, okay, go over to Miller, go over to Modelo. We don't care. It's just us anyway in another form.
The parent corporation knows it all.
Yeah, they're going to go, we don't care you buy Modelo instead of Bud Light. Good, go for it.
Well, and Sherry, I think it's even more insidious than that, too, to kind of tie it to the whole Trump in jail thing. I think that they would love to have a civil unrest, right? Then they can arrest us all. Then they can federalize the local police when the sheriff is Trump supporters. Yes, uh-huh. Then they can put anybody they don't like in jail. They can totally take control, right? I mean, right. I think that's in part what they want. And, you know, we'll talk about Title 42 later, but I think that's what they want. They want all the chaos. They want corruption. They want crime being rampant. So people turn around and say, oh, please, government, please help us out. And they're like, okay, happy to. Mm-hmm. Everyone off to your detention camp now. Or, you know, your
re-education
camp.
Yeah, that's for sure. They've been trying to get us in civil war for many years. With Obama tried with the hands up, don't shoot. I mean, there was so many things that they keep trying and trying. And as in my opinion is, we're not that divided of a people.
No, I absolutely agree.
You have this group that would love to see us in the civil war, because then after you kill each other, they can come in and wipe the floor with what's left of us. Sure. And go ahead.
I was going to say, well, no, I think you're absolutely right on that. And hopefully not. And Barney was saying, great call, Charlene. And Sherry, great call for you too. And then Charlene is saying, in reply to your comment, Sherry, as long as they get our tax money, they can keep the communist agenda going. And then she says,
how do we stop that? Because she's right. All the ugly, awful, horrible things we're paying for. How do we stop that? Because we're paying for it.
We'll give you an example one that stopped.
Perfect question. That was a perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about next. So, Sherry, thank you for your call. Sherry. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
So, she's got a good point. How do we stop it? And I think what you do is, you know, like, you know, one bite at a time, one step at a time, and you take a victory, you can find it. So the governor of Oklahoma, Governor Kevin Stitt, basically vetoed the funding for PBS. And Governor Polis isn't going to do that. But the Corporation for Public Radio and Public Television, Public Broadcasting System, as you know, was all funded almost entirely by taxpayer dollars.
No, they get a lot of money from them.
Well, they get grants, I guess about a third of it. Right. And even though they deny that in Twitter when he says, but they are. And from not just the federal government, but from the state government.
Yes.
And in Oklahoma, they vetoed it, which to me, having worked in TV, private TV, it's like, it's about time, for Pete's sakes. But if we could please play the PBS canceled, because this is a win.
A win. PBS canceled. We don't get a lot of those, but here's one for you.
That's right.
It's like a Rockies win.
Yeah.
Big question is, why are we spending taxpayer dollars to prop up or compete with the private sector and run television stations? And then when you go through all of the programming that's happening, the indoctrination, the over-sexualization of our children, it's just really problematic, and it doesn't line up with Oklahoma values. When you think about educating kids, let's teach them to read and their numbers and counting and letters and those kind of things. I mean, some of the programming that we're seeing on OETA is the hips of the drag queen go swish. Parents defend child transitions. You know, it just doesn't need to be on public television. And then when you add the fact that Oklahoma tax dollars are funding that, that's where the Oklahoma taxpayers are going, hey, hang on, time out for just a second. That's not my values. And then when you think from a free market standpoint, there's so much television, there's so much media, there's so much access to, the things that maybe in 1957 you could have made an argument that you needed a public television station. That's totally outdated at this point. And so I'm just tired of using taxpayer dollars for some person's agenda. I represent the taxpayers.
Exactly. I mean, I think they should get rid of all of it. It's like having worked for a TV station. His first point is second. Why are we paying for a TV station where what? I mean, you used to watch. This is horrible. You would watch on Channel 6 some of the like the when the ancient people have long been dead are singing folk songs, right, and stuff like
ancient
that.
Ancient people long been dead singing folk songs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you watch some of those, and then the Irish dancer people and stuff like that. It's fine. If there's a market for that, then go out there and support it. Why am I paying for that?
Are you trying to imply that I am Mr. BBS?
You used to watch.
I watched some of their shows because some of them were okay, some of them were funny, some of them were pathetic. But what's amazing is this. You know, it appears that Oklahoma has a line item veto, so we can do that. You know, federally, that was found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court under something that Congress could only make those. But obviously in Oklahoma, they can do it. But it's amazing that Oklahoma, which is 2024, so from 1957 to 2024, they've been funding.
Well, everybody has. I mean, everybody has. We're paying for it here in Colorado.
Oh, well, I know, but it's...
Governor Polis does something good. First thing he does is go to Colorado Public Radio, yeah. Right? I mean, the first time, and I mean, if somebody wants to attack Republicans, where do they go? They go to Colorado Public Radio. And he's absolutely right. Number one, in this free market society, when anybody in the universe can just start a podcast, ourselves included, why are we paying? Why aren't we getting some of that money, right? And then secondly, if they're going to be pushing this agenda that we don't approve of, but I mean, that's exactly the point, right? It's a Pravda anymore, really. And nothing but that. So good for Oklahoma for saying, hey, you know what? We're not going to pay for that anymore.
Well, you wish that would go across the country.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing too. I'm going to jump around a little bit. So guys, we can read some comments here. This is from Charlene. A question, why throughout recent history, for example, China and Russia, did they have a cultural revolution before a communist takeover?
They didn't really had a communist takeover and then a cultural revolution.
Oh, okay. And Julie just answered my, thank you, Charlene. Julie just answered my question. The chaos created by the cultural revolution allows the coupsters to promise us law and order, easier to take away our freedoms. Oh, I think so. And in the meantime, they've been doing insidious things, right? So we got a thing in our Excel bill that was explaining that if I use electricity between, I forget what time, 7 p.m. and 1, whatever, overnight, basically, and early in the morning, that my rate is lower. Well, so the fact that they're monitoring that rate, and we all know this, they've installed these smart meters.
Press meters.
And they were using it. I mean, this came out last summer when people were outraged when all of a sudden they're like, their air conditioning wasn't going on.
Right.
And Xcel had said, well, we want to avoid a brownout, so we're turning off your air conditioning.
Ew.
And we're going like, what? And same thing with water rates. I mean, all of these things that right now seem innocent, but when the cultural revolution starts to occur, they're going to be like, Chuck and Julie. It's like, well, look, no podcast for you.
Yeah.
You know, we want to avoid a blackout, you know, so we're going to black you out. And I'm somewhat joking about that, but I think it's
I wouldn't be joking. I think that's absolutely right. I mean, that, you know, we got taken off YouTube for the most specious of reasons. I mean, kind of like, oh, you quoted your own governor about masks on toddlers.
Right.
You violated our community conduct. No, you're a conservative podcast.
You're out of here.
You're out of here.
Thing that's interesting that they're going to be talking about. So Title 42 ends on Thursday. That was something that came under the Trump era, where they could send people back at the border without having to set up a hearing and stuff like that. That ends on Thursday. And I'm sure you guys have seen the pictures of
700,000.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think that was like last week.
But
right?
New York says we're all ready. And so did Jean-Pierre. She said, we're moving on all cylinders on that.
Let these people in. Well, and here's the thing, though, they're getting some weird pushback, but I want to point out the irony. So today, a big story in the news, Governor Polis and Michael Hancock are asking for federal help because anymore in Denver, 200 plus illegal immigrants were arriving each day. Now, during April, so it's, you know, it's May, what, 8th? During the month of April, it was more like 20 to 30, which is alarming enough anyway, right? You'd think somebody should have been covering that, but no. And they spent millions, literally millions and millions of dollars. But now they're seeing 200 plus a day arriving in Denver. And those are just the ones who are showing up, right. You know, at the, that the NGOs are driving them up here, right? I mean, how are they getting here? You got to ask yourself that. And who's paying for that? I'm sure. And our tax dollars are probably funding those NGOs, right? And church groups and things like that are bringing them here. It's not like they come across the border and then they walk to Denver, right?
It's like,
so there's got to be a bus somewhere where they're getting off. Have you seen any coverage of that? No. And nor are you going to. And they're in these facilities that are full, and it's not like they're making them leave the facilities. So what do Polis and Hancock say? They say, we need more money from the federal government. We need more of your tax dollars, because they don't say, maybe we should stop this, right? No. They don't say, maybe we should extend Title 42. I mean, at least it was a little bit of help. There's no talk at all about stopping the flood of illegal immigrants. They just wanted to send them to places like Oklahoma, I guess, or some, you know, I mean, they just want more money and they want more tax dollars and they want these companies or these NGOs that are getting rich off of this. They just want all of that little cottage industry, which is now like a mansion industry, to keep going. And again, like I said, none of them will talk about addressing it at all, right? Like we have that, what, the Mexican national, and I don't know if he was here legally or not, who was the white supremacist, even though he's not white, who Nazi. They say, the Nazi who shot the people. I mean, forget all the crime issues. It's just, it's, you know, for Denver, it's a money issue, and just give us more money and then we'll happily build plenty more shelters and do whatever you need to for that.
Plenty of parks to fill up.
Right. They all look so nicely dressed crossing the border. And Charlene, you're right. Church groups are making money.
Oh, yeah.
That is $73,000 a year, enough to fill Mile High. There you go. And then what's going to happen, Leo? Then the Broncos will say, oh, now we need taxpayers to build us a new stadium, because our current one is full with illegal immigrants. So
then we'll do it.
The Denver voters will vote okay. One other thing kind of wanted to touch
base. I know.
Go ahead.
Hello? It's Jacob again. I know this is rude.
That's okay.
But what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen if they shut down the government over the debt ceiling? Do you think Colorado is going to get a dime?
No.
Do you think anybody? No. That's the harbinger. That's what the Republican Party has on the whole country. Last time they shut down the government, the Department of Economic Resources, or for Denver, I can't remember the real name, they had to lay off everybody because they rely solely on the grant money.
But
if that grant money doesn't come, everything shuts up.
Maybe though I'm wrong, but
do you think that shutting off the money is good or bad, Jacob?
I think it's great. Because then people will realize how much people will realize how much Colorado doesn't have.
Yeah.
How much Colorado really relies on the rest of the country for money.
Right.
Oh, that's a good point. That's right. All right. Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you.
If they follow through, Charlene says some rhino snakes will turn. am I wrong in that? As I remember, the last time they shut down the government, what they did to be mean was they shut down stuff like parks. And I mean, shut down the new
IRS.
Yeah, the armed IRS agents are still going to be doing their gun training.
Workers.
Right, right.
So, I mean, not to worry. Everybody will get paid. We'll go more broke. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Well, and they'll still fund all the illegal immigrants coming through. So
they'll give them their money, and they're probably entitled to reparations too.
That's right.
Maybe we can get them some reparations.
In spite of whatever California is doing, that's just not getting traction. It's just pretty hard to convince people to give more of their money. People,
it's
not
hard. The governor set up a reparations committee. They're finishing their work and they'll go back to the legislature and
all the movie stars will really move out of California then. Well, so
don't move out of California. They'll be exempted. They'll be waived because they're so sensitive.
Right. If you answered the questions correctly, would you buy a beer can from Dylan Mulvaney? Then you don't have to pay.
If you can show that you know Dylan Mulvaney, you're waived.
Couple other just little side notes that are just interesting. The New York Post, which has done like the initial great job on the Hunter Biden laptop story, was barred today by the White House from attending just a White House press briefing.
That's great.
There were empty seats. There was plenty of room. They just got a note saying, yeah, your credential is denied.
Denied.
So they're starting, guys. They're preparing for all this kind of stuff. And then on the other front, the Tucker Carlson kind of, we can talk about this for a few minutes. It's not really a saga, but the watch continues. So now Axios, which is, I think, a Democrat. Democrat arm, is saying that Tucker is going to drop a bombshell. He's going to bomb Fox News. I don't believe it. Number one, if it's coming from Axios, that means that Fox News is handing it to them or somebody.
Right.
Do you believe for a second that Tucker, I mean, if you're Tucker, first, I mean, well, yeah, what's he going to say, really?
Axios knows nothing.
Right.
So they're just saying that for whatever effect, just to say it. I mean, right. And that's, you know, what Tucker Carlson's plans are, who knows what they are. I think, you know, hopefully they're big. And I really hope he does Newsmax and
or his own thing.
And I think it'll just, which is all the reason more why Fox wants to, you know, to stop it in any way it can, but I'm not sure they're able to, and we'll find out. I mean, I think Tucker would be great right now with, you know, the president about to get arrested and everything else. I think it's a great time for Tucker to be on the air, but so.
Well, I think, though, number one, if Tucker had like the, you know, all this horrible, nasty stuff on Fox, I mean, in my opinion, it's probably like workplace stuff, right? Everybody's worked at a place where you're like, I'm going to leak this or I'm going to tell somebody then. And you're like, my boss is me. I mean, you know, not that there probably isn't.
Well,
what's he going to say? The Murdochs are like liberal. It's like, no.
The last thing the Murdochs are going to do would be to give the dirty laundry to Tucker. No,
right.
It's not going to happen. And if Tucker goes on, does he really want to trash Fox? They don't need to.
Right.
I mean, Fox has been destroying itself incredibly. So, you know, why stop them when they're doing such a good job on their own?
Well, and I think what that is about is, so Fox, they tried, and well, now they're saying that they want Dominion to, which is, Fox is now asking Dominion to launch an internal investigation because they think that Dominion might have leaked those Tucker Carlson videos. Well,
they didn't come from Irina Brigati. Communications. No, it was those mean Dominion people,
right? Which again doesn't make sense at all. So, you know, that leak's coming from Fox too. So, Fox is probably hurt worse than you thought. So, they tried leaking the video that backfired. So, can Tucker only look good to people who never even really cared about Tucker before? So, now they're saying, oh, we didn't leak it, Dominion leaked it.
They did it.
And if they leak it now, we're not going to pay them the $870 million. So, I don't think Dominion would bother leaking it, they didn't need to, right? They can move on from Fox.
Right.
I also don't think the Fox leak is also coming that Tucker is going to say mean things about Fox. Like, why doesn't anyone care? I mean, everybody's saying mean things about Fox.
Yeah.
I mean, they could just turn on Newsmax, yeah, right? If you wanted
to. Yeah, if you want to hear mean things about Fox, you know.
It's like,
listen to Greg Boland.
If Tucker Carlson really has that much dirt on Fox.
And who cares?
Right. Yeah. I mean, no one's watching Fox anymore anyway.
How about some dirt on the FBI? Yeah, I care.
I think, though, it is evidence that, you know, when you look for hope, like I say, little things like the Budweiser boycott seems to be working. I mean, they're scrambling trying to figure out what to do. Fox is clearly scrambling trying to figure out what to do because it's not, I think, just the loss of Tucker, but the fact that anyone who, if they're going to fire Tucker for telling the truth, that implies that everyone else there is just, you know, following your narrative. It's just a shill, right?
It's kind of a Ron DeSantis shill.
Yeah, and it hasn't been working. If you're Ron DeSantis, you're like, you know,
tanking.
You're tanking. So I think that's just something I think is, you know, not going to happen. Here we got some comments. Paula, I have to keep putting my glasses on to read the comments. Leo says the proud reporter gets a front row seat. Yeah, the reporter's there. So they, you know, they give their questions to the White House first.
Ahead of time.
Or as I suggest, the White House actually writes the questions and then gives it to certain reporters they know they can trust. Then Jim says, I could see Tucker and Elon establishing a platform through Twitter. Well, yeah, that's what I mean. There is that, what's it called? Twitter Spaces. I mean, Tucker could go, he already went on Twitter. So clearly there's nothing prohibiting from doing that. He could just launch at the same time every day. A lot of people do this. I think Scott Adams does it.
Yeah.
Twitter Spaces, right? There's nothing stopping him from that. And from Charlene, their leaks on Tucker are making Tucker look good. Yeah. And she says, call me if you want to hear mean things about Fox. LOL. And anyone left is a gag shill. Exactly. So, you know, again, they start trying to plant these little PR stories in Axios, and then everybody picks them up, including us. But we're picking it up to debunk it.
Okay, we're better. We're better than that.
Well, we're the debunkers.
We're debunkers.
Even though half the stuff that they debunk turns out to
be debunked.
It is true. Yeah, it has to be the debunking has to be debunked.
The bunk of the debunking.
And then finally, before we leave, today is the last day of the Colorado legislature.
Safe for another 8 months.
It looks like they're going to slam through. We had Ben Murray, who did a great job talking about the property tax.
Right. Rip off by Polis.
It looks like that's going to go through. But I want to give some credit to the minority part, the Republicans. They had very little power here. But, you know, in reading the stuff today, you're seeing hundreds of bills are being dropped because they run out of time. And a large portion of that is because the Republicans did whatever they could. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but most of them, I think, to a certain extent. I'll even give some of the more Ryan-y ones some credit here.
Less Ryan-y ones?
No, I mean, even the ones who were more Rhino, I think, cooperated in slowing down some of the legislature. So we attack him enough. I'll give him some credit there. They did do a good job requiring bills to be read, doing the debate, and enough so that the Democrats had to finally say, okay, Republicans don't get to talk anymore. And in part, drawing attention to the crazier, some of the gun bills, the one protecting, you know, child sex assaulters, things like that. I think they did a good job with that, too. So,
I guess so.
We need to get more of them elected. Yeah. That's what you and Anna can talk about tonight at the executive meeting.
All right. No problem.
Hey, guys, that's going to do it for us.
We're out of here. We want to thank everybody. Charlene and Jacob and everybody Sherry and everybody who Twitters in or
comments
in. Comments. And we've got, and this Melancholy Monday, we'll have Happy Wednesday.
Thank you to everybody on Zoom, the great guys at BBS.
Take care.
So, yep, catch everything at chuckandjulie.com. You'll see you later.
Bye-bye.